Our next talk will be held by someone you might already know. He just introduced himself to me as an NPC in a video game, so he has a quest for you. And he's also has been with CCC for a very long time. And he's on different conferences, international, national. So you might already know him. And he will talk about something which, I guess, who of you has anything to do with managers? I see it's a lot. A manager like to manage manager like to manage things, and they like tools. So they like tools like Trivi, Sona, OWASP Dependency Tracker, and Jira. Anybody of you has ever worked with any of this tool? And who did so voluntarily? Oh, some of you, great. That's very great. So here's something new, an open source tool for vulnerability management. And it will just aggregate everything from all these tools and will it make manageable. So the speaker, McFly, will talk about Defect Dojo, a vulnerability management. Please welcome.
Hello. Oh, this is loud. I speak rather loud, so I think the others didn't wonder. Anyway, I have a talk about vulnerability management in Defect Dojo because quite a lot of you might know me from those conferences, but I actually have real life, and I am a security advisor in a company, like so many of you are, and do something security, or the security guy. Also, and I actually have to deal with security things. Most of you might know me from Miliways, that at the moment is over there. Even more likely, you know it from the hacker camps. I do call myself a hacker. I am also a security professional. I'm indeed an NPC. So there is a game that's called Off Grid. And if you play that game, you can get quests from me. I'm going to specifically the community, InfoSec communities, for a long time. The 14C3 was my first Congress. I missed the 25 since then. And here I say woodworker, but I actually should possibly say I'm a tool collector that occasionally does something with wood. I'm old. I'm started in the BBS age, actually. Speak on conferences for quite a while, and now live in the Netherlands. Which is very nice. If you want to find me, that is possibly for this conference the most relevant identifier of this subject. You'll find me on Mastodon. With Miliways, we run our own server. And also on Matrix, you find me on Miliways. Motivation of the talk. This talk comes, given the title rather obviously, out of my professional works. And attaches a problem or actually a set of problems I've been running in while being the security guy in a company that develops their own code. Possibly I should give back some information. I work at the Port of Rotterdam, and we really have one big problem, and that is that nobody sells software how to run large ports. So we have to write it ourselves. I'm sitting basically in the corner of security to software development at the Port of Rotterdam. I have close to nothing to do with software that you buy from somewhere and that's getting installed, or a SaaS service that does something for us or so. That is all with my colleagues. I'm responsible for the teams that actually develop the software by ourselves. And as we have a very specialized problems running the biggest port out of China, outside of China, we have we can't buy the software, so we write it and we sell it to other large ports. In this job, I did run into a problem, and I've been starting talking about this, and I found out a lot of people don't know anything about this. So I decided to submit a talk over that, and it got accepted. So here we are. Welcome. So I'm talking about vulnerability management with Defect Dojo. Why? What were the problems we were running into? So one of the problem, I will ask around who is having this problem. Who of you works in a company with something, something security? Who of you does something, something security with software development? Okay, cool. Good audience. I had one of the issues that is possibly known for you. Please raise your hand. Security tests identified vulnerabilities, so we have a ton of automated security tests, but nobody did know about it. So is that a problem that you have in your company? So issues were identified, and takes quite a long time until somebody like, oh, wait, there's this test, it says. Okay, fixing of software issues took too long. Well, we actually didn't really have an idea how long. It was just a feeling it's taking too long, but nobody, we didn't have data. Who's having this problem? Okay. Another problem is the teams and the POs, except maybe the security, we have a security champion model, so one developer feels responsible for security, except maybe the security champion, nobody did know the status of the security tests in the team among the software developers. And specifically the PO had no idea about it. Where's that a problem? Some, but better, good. We have to report numbers to management. And I don't want to say they were made up, but at least for me, the numbers felt a bit made up. Who thinks that is a problem in their company? So data quality and reports to management. Three have found out already. The others of you have not. Okay. We have a risk register. Who of you has a risk register? It was full of threats, risks, and vulnerabilities, everything together, and somebody came up with a process that fits risks, but neither threats nor vulnerabilities, and therefore nothing was really working there. Is that a problem anywhere? Lots of shit in the risk register that doesn't belong there? Okay, and information was that too many and too few points at the same time. That goes a bit over the requirement coming out of us. We have lots of security tests, but we wanted more. Well, we couldn't deal with the ones we already have, right? So you have so many ideas for further security tests you can integrate in your company that might help you identify something specifically after an incident. You have often these blameless post-mortem and often those magic words were spoken. There's actually a test for that, right? So, and we couldn't integrate all of those tests anymore because everything that is really code-based and that goes through a build pipeline, that works rather well because build pipelines were supposed to have tests. Everything that doesn't go through the build pipeline was a mess. Is that the same as anyone else? One. Okay, that too. That is the thing where I seem to be mostly alone. For me, that was the most important point. I wanted to be in, to be put in the situation to have more security tests in the teams, but at the same time, improving the handling of security tests. Like, we were already swamped over. You have 9 tests that are, can you, where the results you find at 6 different places, like the build pipeline and another 5 or so. And that was really an obstacle of getting new tools in. So, what's vulnerability management? Wikipedia says it's a circular practice of identifying, classifying, prioritizing, remediation, and mitigating software vulnerabilities. What does it mean? Identifying vulns is something that each of you likely is doing. You have pen tests that identifies vulnerabilities. You have vulnerability scanners like Nessus probably for infrastructure. You have static code analyzer scanners that can scan for commonly made mistakes in coding. You have infrastructure scanners. Kube audit just goes end of life, but like something that audits your Kubernetes, something that audits your Docker container, stuff that checks for dependency checkers. That's a very common one. Then you have things like looking for Git secrets, but possibly you also have SSL connections and stuff like this, and you actually want to have a tool that checks if the state of the SSL actually is in an okay state. And there is lots of scanners which you can use in a company, which give you early and good overview of at least, well, most of the problems. Not all of them, but a fair chance. Running those tests and therefore finding vulnerabilities, the first step, that's actually identifying vulnerabilities. The hard part of that, and I'm very sure everybody of you knows, is this actually a false positive? So security tools have the downside that they produce false positives, like a lot. Like, it is not uncommon that some tools, who would disagree with me when I say the majority of the tools produce more than 80% of false positives? It's a common rate, right? You disagree? Good, I want to talk to you later. So false positives are kind of the bane of security for the teams, for the security team. It is, if you have a too high rate of false positive, you very quickly drift up in the discussion of like, do we really need to do it? It's likely a false positive, or is this the same false positive from a month ago? So that is then issues that you run there. Foreshadowing, there is a tool I might talk about that might help you there. And then classifying vulnerabilities, that's basically answering the question, is this critical? Is this exploitable? And who has to do this, right? You wanted to have a tool where this is in, where also the decision, there's kind of like, if you're doing this in a professional company, I'm just saying this word of like audit log. But also like which teams have to fix it is very often then a point. Prioritizing of the vulns, who needs that explained? Good. Remediation of vulnerabilities. That is to solve the root cause. You'll see there's two ways of actually solving an issue. One of them is that is for me, the teams need to have a good excuse when they don't want to go this path. But that is kind of the good way of actually doing it, solving the root cause. And it's basically update, fix the vulns in the code, update and did I mention updates of the libraries? Yeah. Then there is mitigation of vulnerabilities. That is the path that we often say a lot of forms in like risk register workflow only have one field that says mitigation. Right? There is no even a field for we actually want to solve this at the root cause and go this way. Look at your own forms. Is there actually such a path? Or did they just assume that all makes sense? In general, it basically means that the product owner is asking you, can we firewall that off some way? Who has heard that? Yeah, I thought so. So, a vulnerability management software is a software that helps you to streamline this whole process. And if you don't have one, if you don't have a dedicated vulnerability software, it is likely this one here. Again, I'd like to hear, for who is that true? Who would like to admit that actually Axel is the tool that you have to use in your company to deal with findings of pen test reports and all of those things? There is some hands. I think some people are too shy because I expect that there is more people there. Captain Obvious here, Excel is not a solution. So like if anyone ever says, but we can make an Excel spreadsheet, actually Excel is close to never a good solution. It's according to market analysis from some other talks I watched in preparation for this to actually make this into a talk. It's the most common vulnerability management solution out there on the market. And it sucks. And usually it contains a lot of control C, control V in this process. And that is one of the reasons why it sucks, because information in this spreadsheets is very often neither accurate nor complete. So a software developer where you say, well, because this from this spreadsheet then gets copied into Jira, ServiceNow, or whatever you're using, you can loudly disagree with me here. And then again, you have a lot of control C and control V. It's mostly manual work by a person who has no idea what he's doing, which is the product owner, because his competence is in a different area. And as a result, the whole workflow and the whole process just sucks. Friends, don't let friends use Excel. There is a lot of better tools. Not all of them are good. So first come to the first class of them, that is vulnerability scanners, where somebody said we should have a vulnerability management. So Nessus, all of your commercial Qualys, all of your commercial tooling that you have now offers you to their scanner a vulnerability management tool. In general, if this tool is the only tool you use, this vulnerability scanner, and plan to use for the foreseeable future, only then this is a good solution. If you have five tools, there's the thing that's worse than having five different security scanners, and that is having five different vulnerability management solutions. So really don't, unless you only one tool, don't go down that path. Specifically true for this one, right? If you're in a company that is a bit Microsoft heavy and nobody has ever worked in such a company or liked to, then you're very likely this is at least a very important part of your vulnerability management, because Microsoft stuffs it down your throat as soon as you buy any format advanced endpoint, any format advanced defender. Well, you might be watching this talk and want to see an alternative. So what's Defect Dojo there? I talk now about vulnerability management. Defect Dojo, I need to look for the time. Defect Dojo is an open source tool that helps you to deal with all of this shit. It streamlines the process, testing, report generating, metrics, and it helps you to move your stuff over to a ticket system. The advantage of that is if you have a tool that directly can take all the findings from a ticket system and puts this properly in Jira, the software developer that has to deal with this issue actually finds way more and better information about this. Because software developers are actually pretty good to deal with outcomes from security tools. So very simplified kind of this. There's in total like 188 integrations for different security toolings. I will not show them. I thought about this, but I've decided to not do this. This is just an example of stuff that I have used or use in the past. And you basically, you have all your security scanners. They go into Defect Dojo, and from Defect Dojo, you go into your ticket system, you go to your reporting, you go to Slack or whatever you have there, and the metrics over the API for Power BI, for example, you can source that on the API, but that's a different story. Principal architecture overview, products have engagements that find vulnerabilities. So you have five teams, those teams have either three or eight programs, products or something in the middle. For every of those product, you have an engagement. An engagement is very simple. That's a vulnerability scanner. So you have a pipeline, and you have a repository, and you possibly have something like Git secrets in there, your static code analyzer. You possibly, for them, have a Kubernetes infrastructure tool. If you work with Docker, you possibly have CLAIRE or Trivy. And this way you can have, this is all then different engagements for this tool. Or if you have a tool where you buy something on part of legacy stuff, you possibly have Nessus to scan this, then this is the product. It might just be the product or internal web server, or internal service. And they find vulnerabilities. It helps you to then rate those in this tool to be false positive. It helps you to deduplicate that. So one of the things we do is, we run partially a containerized environment. And for containers, we run Trivy and CLAIRE. This is two security tools that basically scan a Docker container. You throw him the Docker container. He says stuff like CLAIRE is the 100 most common security issues with Docker, so to say. And Trivy is a more structured approach that actually looks through those things in there. The point is some stuff's better picked up by Trivy, some stuff's better picked up by CLAIRE, so I wanted both. So I now have a lot of vulnerabilities that are reported twice. I forgot that on the slide. It helps you with this deduplication. So a vulnerability that has been reported multiple times with different vulnerability scanners. Very nice by that, because that reduces, in our case, it lots. The teams can pick up the issues there. by moving it on into Jira, so the PO can say, I'm clicking these 6 vulnerabilities because they're going to be fixed with updates. Make a Jira ticket out of that that says update things, and it connects those back. So the people who like to see their stuff in Jira sees in Jira. That's just, by the way, Jira is just a variable for the different programs you have there, right? The Jira integration is the best one, though. And you can also say something like, we're actually accepting this risk because it's not relevant for you, for us, or whatever. The development team, fucked up the slides there, I guess. The product owner gets visibility over this. The product owner also can follow if issues actually gets fixed, and he has a convenient interface that put stuff into the other ticket system, and that reduces those copy and paste orgies that he otherwise has to do, and that usually results to just better tickets, which is my interest again, because better tickets usually mean better security in the code. Integrations, that's what they basically call how things get in and out. Defacto.js has an API, and it has an XML and a JSON import. The API is the better way to connect to tools. SonarQube, for example, is a tool that you would address over the API. That is usually a tool that needs access to the areas, so the repositories. It updates better in case of their findings, and it's a bit more enterprisey-ish. Easy way is to just use the universal importer, who basically imports XML and JSON. And there's like 188 security tools that it can import the reports for. Outgoing integrations is Jira, then a tool like Slack and Teams, and an API. There is a point in there that is kind of a ping thing for me. I would like to see if this actually reports properly into Matrix, because I'd like to push our company into there. So if any of you is an open source developer and does a lot with Matrix, I think they're on the corner over here. Can you please write an integration for that? There's an API. You're supposed to be able to do lots more with that. I so far only do metrics with it. So, was it worth it? So for us, it gets a better overview at one place for all of the teams involved. It resulted in shorter fixing times, and specifically the case of Log4j, where we had it installed, made this very useful, because we have a large Java environment with like 90 microservices. And this tool helped me a lot to keep an overview where stuff is fixed and where stuff is not fixed yet. With the live feed, you can see with the constant scans that were run again, how they disappear, right? And I just got shown the 2 over there. I guess it means that it's 2 minutes for the questions and answers. Is that correct? Very good, because that's my next slide. Thank you for coming and listening. Thank you for talking to me. Please feel free to come to me and talk. And this is an open source tool. I use it in an enterprise environment. You can buy an enterprise version, and then you can tell them, please write this integration, because you get a certain amount of integrations for you, and you can ask the other magic question that I really would encourage people to ask this more often. Please make that integration open source, because they do that, but only if you ask for it. And if you build integrations by yourself, please also make them open source. Are there any questions?
Are there any questions? There is already a question. You can give applause, but there will be, yes. But keep it short, and just prepare some for later. Your question, please.
Okay. I had a couple of questions, but I tried to make it short. Is there support for branches? And if there is there also like alerting stuff like that?
That is how it looks. There is a demo version, I forgot that. And you can test a lot of that out there. It's demo.defactdojo.org, and this is now a bit too small screen. I'm a bit short on time. I was actually planning to show a bit of this, but suddenly I saw the two. Support for threads and branches and all of that. Usually you would have two products. One of the products is the production environment and one is the dev test environment. In that, you can have it in your report. So if it's the question of are there support for branches and stuff like this, is basically the question, does your security scanner support that? Because from that standpoint, you basically just have a security run a scanner that you run somewhere. You put that in the wrapper script, and that sends in some way or another out of the protected environment to the vulnerability management server, the report. So you also don't need to give anyone access to that, right? Just the security scanner pushes a report to a place that is reachable for him by SCP, by FTP, by file, by you name it, right? You can directly write a script that drops it off at the API from DefactDojo if you would like to. So this question mostly is answered by, that depends on how you have set up your scanner. You will get this information specifically if you add the information of what environment this is, also to kind of the report in some way that you send out to DefactDojo.
Thank you. The next question is from the internet.
One, two. The internet would like to know, how do you triage the sheer number of higher critical CVEs in third-party components? So like true positives versus positives. Patch everything, analyze every single CVE. What brings the best cost-to-benefit ratio from your perspective?
Most of the stuff's fixed by just being up-to-date with your updates. That's something that you learn. You see the systems, you see how many issues there are, and then you just like basically say, okay, guys, we now really have too many updates. Can you please update all the libraries and all the systems you're running on? And then 85% of the ones you find are actually of the not false positives are gone. For the false positives, we have those reviewed by the developers, and a lot of companies do this way. I would also additionally add to that to give those developers actually a training in security review. Because in a lot of companies, you also have peer program. I don't know if that's a thing with you, that a program needs to review something. But none of those guys have ever gotten any kind of training in how to actually do a security review. Right? They're just some developers that might or might not have heard something about security. There's actually trainings for that. I can really recommend that. Train your fucking developers.
Thank you. And then there's a question in the back. But after that, there's also a question here.
Yeah, thank you for the talk. So you mentioned earlier that you can import via JSON. Is that like an open SBOM format? Is it standardized or how does that work then?
I have no idea. So far when it says JSON, I threw it in that export and said JSON and usually it worked.
Okay.
The difference is you need to associate the fields.
Okay.
So that is, but that's everything.
Maybe short follow-up question. Have you compared it to dependency track? Have you played around with that?
I know about that tool, but that only looks for dependency issues. Or not completely only, but that mainly looks for dependency issues and is optimized for dependency issues. And our problems were just, we're covering way too many stuff. We're also importing, for example, the Defender suit into our DefactDojo.
Okay, thank you.
So a lot of that. Yes, we have some more questions. I see a question.
This one is raised his hand early, but I've seen you.
Thanks for the talk again. What are the limits? How many vulnerabilities do you ever put in and on how many systems? So I have the experience in the longer past that DefactDojo has limitations at a class B net with round about 10 vulnerabilities per system.
If you have a very large amount of vulnerabilities, there is now two ways about this. First of them, and then systems get slow and it can't handle it properly anymore, is you need an engineer for this. There's another possibility that's hidden there on an enterprise account. So we don't have issues for that, but with larger environments, with companies that actually make quite some money with this. I find it cool that even if you use the open source version, you get your company to buy those developers from this software a bit of income, which is what the developers have a company together and they offer support. So that's actually pretty good. And this way, developers get paid, do things, tell them that you like the open source stuff, because they hear this way too little. But they're actually pretty cool people. So this is a way to deal this. Defect Dojo, indeed, when it gets to very large environments, when you gets hard to set up, specifically performance is an issue, and then it's possibly at some point events really a lot. That's the ones that I've experienced. It gets a bit hard to overview. When you have tens of thousands of vulnerabilities, categorization help a bit there. So again, products is usually a team. Try to split your things early, right? Do not say, I want all the vulnerabilities to go to the security officers and duty, and he spreads those out to the teams. Like, that guy will not have a good, or that woman will not have a good time. So you need to spread that early, like create products that kind of means teams. And associate things early directly to the teams. I think we're 3 more minutes.
No, there are 8 minutes left. So
oh, good.
Let's take the 2 questions here.
Hi. Does Defect Dojo also handle transient dependencies? So not your direct dependencies, but the dependencies of your dependencies? Because we have experienced that sometimes is a problem.
So yes, that depends on the scanner mostly.
But is there a separation between primary and secondary dependencies, or where they come from, or is this just, this is a dependency of you somewhere down the tree?
It usually gives you the way how we set this up, because that is again a question of the data source and the information that the scanner actually gives. So again, very often problems will be laying actually in the format of the scanner and not so much of the tool itself that processes them. If you set up the scanner that he gives you this information, you will be able to process that. But again, things can become complicated very quickly, which is also why I actually recommend you, if you like the idea of this talk and have heard about this, please set up a proof of concept and run this for a while and then think critically if this was the best way to set it up. It's an open source tool. You know, a lot of open source tools have a lot of different ways to set up, specifically the relationship about products, organizations, and so on. The process part of that, set up a proof of concept, look at it, learn things, and then set it up again. Because I've seen way too many, like I've set this up now for the fourth time, and in the first 2 times we had really the problem of like stuff was piped to the security team that then had to decide and spread, and that just gets overwhelmed.
There has been a second question there.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you deal with cases where you might have a security advisory, but no scanner will detect the vulnerability?
Will what?
Where there's no scanner to detect the vulnerability.
Yeah, that brings you back at the problem of vulnerability management and vulnerability scanning in general. You have only so much coverage. That's the same with any kind of testing that you have a company, and it's very often kind of the holy number being carried around. What's our test coverage? If you don't have a test for identifying it, you can't identify it this way. So how would you do this in the world before that? So that's then the cases where you as a security officer likely have some handwork periodically. I have no good answer for you, except you need a scanner to pick it up. If there is no scanner, then it will not end in there.
There's another question there, and then there's also a question from the internet.
Assuming the goal would be to protect a software product that gets developed in Agile, would it be possible, have you ever explored the possibility of detecting supply chain attacks from SBOMs?
The short answer to that is no. It is not a tool to attack attacks. It's a tool to attack vulnerabilities. So I would likely have in the risk register an item of I will really have the risk of being pwned through our vendors, and that you have to treat as risk, but that is not like a defined vulnerability is in itself. So it does not solve the holy grail. This tool only helps you to deal with the stuff you already have and tries to make it more efficiently and tries to get you used, not Excel. So like current attacks, other toolings, there is some tools who have attack detection in there. Honestly, I've not played around with that. I might actually do that. And if you do this, I might actually toot over this.
Very good. And the internet has a question.
The internet would like to know which one is harder, Port of Rotterdam or Defect Dojo?
Want to answer?
The Port of Rotterdam is actually a surprisingly nice place to work, but it's a government-owned company and comes with the issues that a government-owned company had. I'm pretty sure everybody who knows works in one of those totally knows what I'm talking about. Defect Dojo is nice, but also has a lot of pain points. So I think harder actually is Defect Dojo.
There's a question in the front, and please also thank Andy. He is running around handing the microphone out.
Hi. From my perspective or experience, the problem with vulnerability management is sometimes the flow of the data, that sometimes it flows like a waterfall model only in one direction. So from your experience, how well does the synchronization work, for example, between Jira and Defect Dojo? So if, for example, somebody changes some details in Jira, can
in short,
you get that back?
I get your question. If it's Jira and Defect Dojo, really good. If it's ServiceNow, meh. If it's Azure DevOps, Microsoft really doesn't like it when you connect to those. In both of those tools, you actually have a better experience if you set up a Jira and then connect ServiceNow to Jira, or connect Azure DevOps to Jira, which sounds horrible, but it works better than the direct connection. Sorry.
Let's make the angel run. There's a question, but there's also one all in the back. And that's it.
So somebody paid for the Jira integration at some point for a really good Jira integration and said, please make it open source, so it's there.
So last
that's
two
how
questions.
You get good integrations.
One of the scanners shown on your slides, WP Scan, collects also information about which WordPress version is used or the plugins used. Does Defect Dojo also handle that kind of information, or does it also only handle vulnerabilities?
Isn't that in WordPress the same? I haven't managed to get our WordPress down to zero vulnerabilities, and in the vulnerabilities it has the version number. So for WordPress, you actually can look up in the Defect Dojo which version you're running. But I think this might be WordPress specific. Disclaimer, we get rid of WordPress. So
last question in the back, please. Just in the hallway, somewhere there. Run.
Hi, thanks for the talk. And I wanted to ask you, because we also work with Defect Dojo, and one of our headaches is to deal with the performance as we increase the number of applications. I wanted to know if you also have this problem, or how do you deal with it?
We had the version in the on-site system. We got rid of the version by getting a more elaborate and bigger and more refined on-site system. In my current job, I'm not sure if I would be allowed to admit that maybe we would be using the professional version where somebody else looks for this, and they do it good enough that it is not a problem.
So thank you very much for your talk. Please give a warm round of applause.